Hey, everybody. So we're going to get back to our larger documentary projects because that's really where our hearts lie. And this is this whole situation that is unfolding is
we have a secret language now. Okay. And she's leaving us Easter eggs in our secret language.
It's like a train wreck. It is very hard to look away from it, but I think I'm going to have to because it's like staring into the abyss for real. But this one more thing, I can't help it. We have to have this discussion because this is happening. Ivy League students, this is a headline and it's not a parody. This isn't The Onion. This is an actual headline. Ivy League students offered crayons, Legos, and cookies with milk to cope with Trump's election win. Harvard and Penn State are giving students the day off. There are professors at Princeton who are postponing exams. There are students at various schools who are allowing their grades to be changed later for the stress they have now gone through during this election. They're getting out of homework. They're getting out of class. And Georgetown University built a self-care suite. This is the level that things are at in Ivy League colleges. I don't even know anymore how much is being charged to these kids and their families for going to these very, very expensive schools that we're supposed to in our society revere as the most elite educational facilities we have. And this is the way that they are treating their adult students. You had professors at Columbia University and its sister school, Barnard, sending emails for people to take school off and take care of themselves. The classes are being canceled. And we just need to breathe. We all just need to breathe because it's so heavy. But they'll keep the classroom open for people to come if they want a space to reflect. An adjunct professor of international and public affairs at Columbia, who apparently served on the Obama administration White House Council on Women and Girls, canceled class and said, "Although I planned a tentative lecture on modern polling methods and their blind spots, it feels a bit tone deaf to deliver that today." You mean the day after an election? That is the perfect time to deliver a class on misleading polling methods. That's exactly the time you want to deliver that class. Why would that be tone deaf? Organizers at Dartmouth encourage students to be off the grid the day after election or come back to attend a decompression dinner. Bring a book or a craft to a listening circle for the supportive environment. About the reflections, about that. They're treating these people like their children. Look at this headline. Legos, cocoa, and coloring books for Georgetown students. At the McCourt School of Public Policy, officials are offering mindfulness options. Now look at this agenda, which comes from the school's director of student engagement. Tea, cocoa, self-care, a Lego station, coloring and mindfulness exercises, milk and cookies and Legos. Snacks and self-guided meditation to recover from this. There are more educational activities taking place in preschools than this. I just want to point that out. Look at this. In recognition of these stressful times, be good to yourselves. Check in on your friends. They're acting like 9/11 happened and it was an election. You know, I was in college in the 2000s. I was driving to campus on the day 9/11 happened. Listening to NPR, wondering if the country was at war because we had no idea what was going on. And we all went to school. And did they offer us milk and cookies and Legos on 9/11? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They did let people go home, though, because everyone was very upset and we did not know what was going to happen. And thousands of people were dead. So it actually was a stressful event. An election is something that happens every 4 years. Every 4 years. This is going to happen in 4 more years. This is just reality in this country. That's how our election process works. And by the way, the Georgetown University McCourt School of Public Policy, these are people that are going to affect diplomacy in the future with these degrees. They offer undergraduate and master's degrees in public policy. It says right here on their website that their foundational skill set is based around things like critical thinking and engaging with bias. It actually says that here, that engaging with bias is having the ability to relate to and learn from people with different backgrounds and perspectives. and being open to evidence that may challenge your prior conception. But they obviously don't think their students can do so. They don't even think their students can handle the basics of an election that they didn't get the person they wanted elected in the election. They're giving them milk and cookies and coloring books. And they did this at other schools too. There's many, many schools, like Missouri State University had a self-care, no phone zone space with coloring pages, calm jars. I don't know what a calm jar is. Calm jars, coloring pages, and sensory fidgets. Northwestern University offered students a post-election wellness space with puzzles, crafts, games, snacks, and brain break activities. And Princeton offered art build processing space. Harvard Divinity School had a whole community care day, which included office hours with Sunshine the Puppet. Office hours with a puppet. Okay. Because the election was so devastating for these people that they're, it says many of us are feeling frustrated, scared, and uncertain, a whole mishmash of mostly not good emotions. I mean, you could pull that sentence off of here and you could put it in the mouth of one of those people that has puppets, like a puppet show, like Sesame Street. That's the way they used to talk to us when we used to watch Sesame Street when I was like 5 years old. And that's how they're talking to adults. Professors at Columbia are making classes optional and giving students passes on exam work, and they're giving people participation points in biology classes now, even if they don't show up. And they're allowing students to replace their midterm exam grades with their final grades if they do poorly, in recognition of the increased, quote, stress some of you might be feeling because of the election results. At Emory School of Medicine, which presumably is a school that teaches doctors how to be doctors, deans and administrators are sending emails to residents and fellows to check in post-election to ask if they have any feelings of anxiety about the future and reiterate that they are there for them during these challenging moments. They are treating these people like babies. They're treating them like little tiny babies. I went over to Yale trying to see what was going on over there, and I came across this article, and this is where I actually just stopped and went, okay, I obviously just am so in another reality that I didn't realize this is the level that we're at in this country. Like, I obviously just don't. I obviously just don't know where we even are anymore as an adult living in America in 2024, because this is a headline. Yale bleeds champions menstrual equity and social justice on campus and beyond. What? Through workshops, art, and community partnerships, Yale's menstrual equity organization tackles period poverty, challenges stigma, and confronts institutional barriers to access. I had to go look some of this up. Apparently, it actually just has to do with some people can't afford tampons, and so they're gonna get it to where people can have those in the bathrooms on campus. Well, that makes total sense. They used to have them in the bathrooms on campus anyway. So I don't know what's happening now that we have to act like it's not equal anymore, that half of the population has a period. But then you go down in here and it's talking about how they're having abstractionist painting workshops using the colors associated with period blood textures and spells. That's a sentence. To facilitate engagement to focus on your identity as a menstruator. And that's in quotes, menstruator. And that they're going to do it the day after election day, because it's really important to provide a space for students to process their feelings about the incoming administration and reproductive health. And tomorrow, they're going to have a uterus cookie making workshop. This is a thing. This is on their website. This is reality. This is not an SNL sketch. This is real life. They're going to paint pictures with the textures and smells of period blood and then make uterus cookies at Yale. That's what they're doing. Okay? As menstruators, which, by the way, as a woman feels incredibly dehumanizing to we're not going to call ourselves women anymore. We're going to call ourselves our bodily functions now. It's completely dehumanizing. I feel like it's completely dehumanizing and gross. I actually think it's gross personally, but hey, you want to call yourself a menstruator? Fine. But I feel like it's incredibly dehumanizing. I mean, are people who, you know, take dumps going to start calling themselves? You see what I'm saying? Like, we could do this all day. That's just a thing your body does. How is that an identity now? I don't understand this. I actually don't comprehend it. And so I'm going to use a word that I've been using all year, which Aaron says is now a drinking game in our house because of how many times I brought it up. but it's called
infantilizing.
Infantilization. That's absolutely correct. Infantilization.
I'm sorry. You're really lucky I didn't bust out laughing earlier.
It's a real word. And this is what these schools are doing to these people. These are supposed to be people. They are supposed to be adults. These are supposed to be adults. This is our future in this country at these Ivy League schools. And they're treating them like they're 5 years old or even in just preschool. So infantilization is a verb, and it means to treat or condescend to as if still a young child, to reduce to an infantile state or condition, to reduce a person to the state or status of an infant, to keep someone infantile, to treat them like a baby. That's infantilize. This is infantilization. It is institutional infantilization by just telling these kids that you should come have milk and cookies and play with Legos. You're actually giving them the message that that's how they should respond, that these meltdowns, that these complete breakdowns, these inabilities to handle reality are normal. You're normalizing this behavior. This is what you're doing as a school, as an institutional practice. You're normalizing the infantilization of adults, practically ensuring that next election they're going to act worse and be able to handle it even less. That is what is being done to this. This is actually a disservice. This is actually harmful. I think this is harmful. And you have charts being put out like this one, this map. If the election, if having a degree was a requirement to vote in this election, this is what it would have looked like. Because far and away, the vast majority of our universities and colleges are left-leaning institutions. You've had studies put out on this. Back in 2020, Democratic professors outnumber Republican ones 9-1. There was a whole thing that came out of the National Association of Scholars, and they talked about this, how this divide has grown rapidly. And it says the concern is grounded in research on confirmation bias, group polarization, motivated reasoning, and the tendency for these phenomena to be even more pronounced among the highly educated. Consistent findings from this work is that although the ratio of faculty who identify and are registered as Democratic versus Republican varies across departments, it almost always favors the Democratic Party. Secondly, Democratic to Republican registration ratio is typically higher among disciplines in the humanities and social sciences as compared to the natural sciences and engineering. Third, Democratic to Republican registration ratio has increased over time. It was 4.5 to 1 in 1999. Now it's 10 to 1 today among elite liberal arts colleges and social science departments. And that the partisan slant is the most extreme in the most highly rated institutions. So I don't know why it's being put out here that it's a measure of intelligence to say that if you send a bunch of 18-year-olds to extremely left-leaning institutions, they are going to emerge also left-leaning when almost all of their professors are left-leaning. Why is that a surprise to anyone that that is how it would go down? You're sending people there in their very formative years where they're very first becoming adults from children, and they're surrounded with extremely left-leaning partisan people. You think that's not coming across in their classes? Some of that was coming across in my classes even back in the day. Yo, but it wasn't as pronounced as it is now. So they're overwhelmingly liberal. And then, of course, the people who graduate from there become liberal. That makes sense. I don't know why. Like, that's not a measure of, well, that just means that all Democrats are more intelligent. It means that the majority of our higher learning institutions are Democrat, and they're shaping the foundational views of emerging adults who are also Democrat after they leave there. Ashley St. Clair shared this map, actually, and she said, what do you call an institution in which everybody who enters it leaves with a uniform political ideology? I mean, that's what's going on. So now we're infantilizing people, and it's not just the people who go to these colleges. It's not just the leaders of tomorrow who are going to these Ivy League institutions who are coming out this way. You have MSNBC having a Yale University child psychology fellow going on the air. So they're doing kind of an appeal to authority, trust the experts type of deal by having a Yale child psychology fellow come on the air and talk to everyone, telling people to cut their friends and family out who didn't vote the way who voted for Trump for the holidays.
I think just a societal norm that if somebody is your family, that they are entitled to your time. And I think the answer is absolutely not. So if you are going to a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, like what you said, against your livelihood, and it's completely fine to not be around those people and to tell them why, you know, to say, I have a problem with the way that you voted because it went against my very livelihood and I'm not going to be around you this holiday. I need to take some space for me.
And acting like that's an expert opinion, that it's normal to do that, that it's normal to cut out your family if they don't agree with you politically. Which, by the way, is exactly what cults do. Cults isolate people from people who could challenge their views, who could challenge the views of the cults. That's straight out of the cult playbook of cult programming, to isolate people so that they're only around other people who share the cult's views. That's completely what that is. And they're parading it on the news as if it's news. This is a thing that's happening to our country. This is happening. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but the other day I watched a video, and I'm not a huge, you guys know on this channel, TED Talks are not my favorite thing in the world, because a lot of times they're formulaic and they do the TED Talk hands and it makes it very hard to just listen to the person who's presenting sometimes. Feels very contrived. But I did watch this Dr. Susan David. She was talking about emotional intelligence, and she brought up a really good point that I think needs to be considered.
I like being happy. I'm a pretty happy person. But when we push aside normal emotions to embrace false positivity, we lose our capacity to develop skills to deal with the world as it is, not as we wish it to be.
I think some of that is what is going on. I saw a person make a video the other day and they were saying, you know, I don't know why so many of you on our side, meaning the Democrat side, I don't know why so many of you thought that people were going to vote based on their identity politics, when the average person who votes is voting based on, you know, basic things like, can I afford the cost of living in society? Well, they thought that because they're coming out of a very progressive university that's treating them like they're children who can throw a temper tantrum when they don't get their way. If I could make a 2 to 3 hour documentary right now with no commentary whatsoever, just putting videos up of grown adults behaving like children after this election and turning on cameras and screaming and crying and throwing fits and making threats and melting down in ways that I would have given my child a timeout for when he was little if he had behaved that way. And they're behaving that way and they're older than me. And it goes back to this. When we push and embrace false positivity, people are losing their capacity to develop skills to deal with reality as it is, and not the illusion they have in their minds. This whole love and light crowd where it's always good feelings and good vibes all the time, and there's no such thing as a negative emotion. There's no such thing as anger, frustration, and depression. Can't even have those. So when you do, it's so alien and all-encompassing, you can't handle how to deal with your, so you have no emotional intelligence to deal with your negative feelings, which, by the way, serve a purpose. And this society has spent way too much time making people think that if you have a bad feeling at all, you need to immediately go get a pill for that because you're not supposed to even have that. Then it's not right to have those, but they're there for a reason. That is how you learn about yourself. You actually learn what's wrong and what's actually making you upset. And then you learn how to process those emotions and deal with them. And this society is like, live, laugh, love. Okay, well, that's great. And being happy is great too, but it's not normal to just be happy all the time. And whenever they tried to normalize that idea, I think that's when a lot of this mental illness became a serious issue. You can't reject the negative emotions and pretend they don't exist and not feel them and not experience what that is. No amount of milk and cookies is going to fix that. And so now you have huge portions of society who are projecting the negative things they refuse to face in themselves, their fears, their anger, their disappointment, their frustration, they're projecting it on the rest of society like their own personal Plato's cave, because the illusion doesn't match the reality. And when that happens, breakdown is inevitable. If you can't face yourself and your own emotions and truths within yourself, you're not going to be able to face it in reality either. But these universities are not helping by literally coddling and infantilizing these students. These are supposed to be adults. I can't believe these are headlines and not parody. Generations like mine, I've seen articles now that claim that if you were born in the 80s, like, you're lucky you aren't dead. Because we were just out on our bikes riding around for hours. Our parents didn't know where we were. I would say by the time I was 10 years old, I was past the milk and cookies phase for my bad feelings about things that were going on. So if that tells you anything, but this is not how we handled anything, even not that long ago. I do not know what has happened in this country that we've gotten to this point, but this is very, very dangerous to the future of society, actually. And I wish I had more answers, but we could at least start with the idea that emotional intelligence means a full picture, not just one side. And I guess I'm just ranting again, but I don't know. These kind of conversations need to be had somewhere, because this is insane. And it feels like it's just getting more insane. As much as people want to pretend like this isn't what's happening and be like, well, they just need to grow up. Well, they're not. They're not growing up. They're not growing up. They're going backwards. They're regressing. They're Benjamin Button, okay? And not even back into like a cute little kid, but into like a bratty, spoiled kid who has no idea how to handle reality. And this society for years and years now has really promoted the idea that if you're sad, that's bad. And you need to go take a pill for that or erase it instead of facing it and trying to figure out what is actually bothering you so that you can actually overcome that. We're not overcoming things anymore. We're just prescribing things and trying to ignore reality all the time. And that ignoring of reality may be what has gotten us here. You know what? As a society, we have to stop lying to ourselves. Reality is not a safe space. It will never be a safe space.
I don't want to try because I don't want to feel disappointed. Or I just want this feeling to go away. I understand, I said to them. But you have dead people's goals. Only dead people never get unwanted or inconvenienced by their feelings. Only dead people never get stressed, never get broken hearts, never experience the disappointment that comes with failure. Tough emotions are part of our contract with life. You don't get to have a meaningful career or raise a family or leave the world a better place without stress and discomfort. Discomfort is the price of admission to a meaningful life.